America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host and most Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi. Say hi to the good people, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, so this episode is going to be for November 19th, 2022, and it's fucking freezing.
What's freezing for you?
Well, right around now, it's like 50-50 and getting lower.
Yeah, we're below freezing right now.
Well, yeah, you live in Ohio. That's normal.
That's actual freezing.
Yeah. But, yeah, it is legitimately cold down here. And it is very quickly moving on to that time of the year, because next week is Thanksgiving, at least in America. So, yeah, it's... Once that's over with, the next time we'll be talking to you guys, it's going to be well on the way to the holidays. And, God, they keep getting here quicker and quicker the older you get. But anyway, on this show this week, things we got to talk about. Well, unfortunately, we had a couple of mass shootings that happened this week, one after the other. Because this is America. But we did have some good news as well. We have more news about sort of the aftermath of the midterm elections. We got some more results. Pretty much ended the way most of us kind of figured they were. There's also some stuff happening in the Senate about the marriage equality bill. And we also grew as a species. We are now much bigger, and somehow they keep saying that, you know, they can't feed us all, and yet there's still so much space on the earth that could grow food, but that's just another thing entirely. But yeah, just mostly fairly normal this week, which is kind of sad saying that. But we got that and more to talk about on this week in Let's Weekend. So, start us off as always. Chris, what have you been doing this week, you know, other than dealing with the below freezing weather in Cleveland?
Yeah, we've had some snow as well. Nothing to stick. Nothing like, say, other places have had this week. But yeah, not really doing a lot of work for the most part. So, yeah, when I had a day off, I decided to go and watch Black Panther Wakanda Forever, the new movie that is really good. It has a lot of work to do with this movie as to, you know, eulogize T'Challa and Chadwick Boseman as part of it and sort of find a way to pass things on to whoever would potentially take the mantle next. And they deal with that. They introduce, you know, a new species or group of people, sort of like a mirror of the Wakanda people that have, you know, bided their time in revealing themselves to the world, to people in the world. And that is Namor and his people of sort of, I forget whether like they're Mayans, people that descend from the Mayans who decided to take this whole, I don't know how, like this thing, they explain it, but it sort of makes them unable to breathe on land, and so they go into the water and they can breathe through there and kind of become kind of fish people, I guess. Though they don't really get too much of the fishy parts. Just I think they're more blue skinned then. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, that all plays out pretty interestingly. Kind of cements them as sort of a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in some way. And then they... Yeah, they figure out like what the future of the Black Panther stuff is and deal with that. And there's not really too much in the way of post-credit scenes or anything. It's just a couple to take care of a couple of loose strings that the movie has. But yeah, it's very well done. and a very nice kind of tribute to Chadwick Boseman and everything he did for Black Panther and Marvel and all that. So yeah, very nice time. The other thing I've been watching is more One Piece, as I am in this ever expanding Water 7 arc that is going to some big places.
Yeah.
There is one very good bit where a certain character kind of leaves the group, the Straw Hat Pirates, and then returns under a new name. And every time he would show up for a while, they would, you know, go to a theme song intro for the character and then play his theme and all that kind of stuff. So much so that, you know, there's like two members of the crew that don't recognize him, despite just putting on a mask and a cape. That's all that's changed. Everything else is the same. He sometimes changes his voice to sound a bit more, I don't know, Superman-y, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a whole fun bit, especially when he just breaks out of it and all that. So, yeah, it's a fun time. A lot of weird stuff going on, so I'm looking forward to watching more of that. I think I'm heading towards the end of Netflix's dubbed stuff. Like I'm about 270. I think their limit is 300 episodes. Though I think that's about when this whole arc wraps up. So yeah, that's been it for watching stuff. For games, still been playing more God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Enjoying that as a, I'm in a good part where I'm able to kind of explore more freely. And also in a part where I'm looking around, I'm seeing a lot of places where like, oh, this place is going to change at some point so that I can do even more stuff here. So I'm working my way around in that game. The other thing, just been playing more Rocket League. They got a new weird event going on that's Nike and World Cup themed. So they had a bunch of like banners that you can get that are all just World Cup themed or more just country themed stuff from a lot of the countries that made it into the World Cup. And maybe others as well. But they require you to do a lot of weird challenges or just like play five casual 1v1 matches and 5 2v2 and 3v3 and 4v4. And it's like, well, that's not interesting at all. Though I guess that it'll help me get one of my season challenges for playing 20 casual matches. That showed up like late in the season for some reason. So that's maybe one bonus out of it, but it seems like it's all packs of these banners, I think. I don't know. It's one of the weirder like framework events they've done in a while. So I'll see how it goes, but, yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, I am still playing, Persona 5 Royal, and I did manage to get the, all the major requirements that you need to pass in order to access the additional content that they made specifically for the game. So now basically I'm on the part where you're on, we're in Shido's palace, you know, the giant cruise ship going through the flooded Japan. And having to go through that, which is probably my least favorite dungeon of the entire game because of how needlessly convoluted it is. But, you know, it is also very plot heavy because it specifically talks about like all of the, you know, his like accomplices and the people he was paying off to get all this shit started. But other than that, you know, I'm going through that, and then I'm guessing what happens is after that's over, there's something different that happens before the other part of the game starts. But yeah, that game is still extremely entertaining. I've also been doing sort of exploring the part they call the Thieves' Den, which in Persona 5 Royal, it's essentially how to put it. It's like a sort of like a an extras menu condensed into like a fully three-dimensional space that you can navigate. And it gets you access to stuff like, you know, concept art and, you know, the animations and stuff, the cutscenes, all the music tracks. It lets you like look around and explore like fully 3D models of like all the objects in the game, including like the various rooms and stuff. It's actually really neat, really surprisingly addictive. Yeah, as far as like gaming is concerned, that's pretty much been it. I am trying to like get some scratch together so I can go and get a copy of Bravely Default 2, because I really want to play one of those games. I would like, of course, to start with the originally Bravely Default, but the problem is I don't have a 3DS anymore, and that is for now a 3DS exclusive. And I also know that I'm pretty sure that Front Mission First, the sort of remake for Switch, is supposed to come out, if not next week, then the week after. I guess we'll see. Because I really want to play that one, too. That's like all for games. All the other stuff, like I'm still hip deep in the ex-Japan obsession. In particular, I've been listening and re-listening and watching the Super Live concert they did in 1991, where they actually, I'm pretty sure they're actually the first like heavy metal band to actually perform with like a full orchestra. And they did it in 91 at the NHK concert hall. And the sound is kind of off because, you know, it's like a tape of like a live performance that they did on a television program. But you know, considering the version you can get on YouTube, the sound can be really good. Compared to, like, a lot of what Metallica did, like, years later, it kind of just sounds better. And I think that's just because, you know, ex-Japan always kind of had, like, a symphonic kind of aspect to their music. And, of course, you know, Yoshiki has, you know, classical training as a pianist, so he knows how to read music and everything. But really, other than that, I mean, I made the joke about freezing my ass off, but it is true. I know, you know, it is below freezing and you guys are getting like snow and shit over there. But over here, the thing, you know, and I have to make this point constantly. We here in the South do not insulate our houses against the cold. We insulate them against the heat because it gets stiflingly hot during the summer. So because of that, even like something as like what someone like from New York, it's like, oh, it's 50. That's like short swearing weather. It's like, no, that's like the Arctic Circle down here. It has gotten pretty cold down here. We've had nights where it's gotten down until like the 20s. So
yeah,
like it has legit been cold down here. It's supposed to warm up a little bit. Next week is supposed to get back up to like the really low 60s. But that's still not a whole lot.
We're going to warm up to the 40s for Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for me. You want to add anything else before we move on, Chris?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then in that case, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, you know, every so often there's those things that happen like maybe only once or twice a year that get you all excited and gets people all really, you know, it's like, yeah, it's that time of year again. And in that case this week, it was the fact that H-Bomber Guy released a new video. which, have you seen it yet, Chris?
Yeah.
If you haven't, just to tell you what it is, it's essentially he started off the whole like video about like the origin of the oof sound effect from Roblox, and it ended up spiraling into this really bizarre story about a guy who's like, you know, at least if you're our age, he was like
he was the one that made the noise that was used in Roblox.
Yeah. Except, you know, it's a long story. I won't spoil it for you, because it's absolutely worth watching. It is a hell of a rabbit hole that you will find yourself falling into, and really kind of like bring this guy's entire legacy into question. That's not really what I'm talking about this week. What I'm talking about is actually kind of ancillary, because one of the things that this individual claims is that he worked on the sound design for Metroid Prime with Shigeru Miyamoto. And specifically, he claims that Miyamoto was like, "Yeah, I love your stuff. I want to collab. You're awesome." And for the record, no. His company did do some of the sound effects, but he himself did no work on it. But that inspired me to talk about the company that actually is behind Metroid Prime, because this company in particular is, they just have the weirdest sort of story behind them, and that's Retro Studios. Now, Retro Studios, if you know them now, you know, of course, they made Metroid Prime. They made the new Donkey Kong Country games. They made they did work on Mario Kart 7. They're supposed to put Metroid Prime 4 out sometime very soon. I say that, and that game's been in like development hell for almost 6 or 7 years now. But Retro Studios was originally a company that was founded as sort of like a subsidiary. It was meant to originally be like an American subsidiary of Nintendo. And it was originally combined with another company called Iguana Entertainment. Now, Iguana Entertainment was responsible for some games you probably are familiar with from back in the 90s. They did Arrow the Acrobat. They did NBA Jam is something they worked on. They did a bunch of sports games. They also did Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, the Nintendo 64 one. They worked on the South Park game from 1998. And, you know, stuff like that. A lot of it was like really tie-in stuff. But if you're of a certain age, you've definitely played their stuff. Now, this company was founded by a guy named Jeff Spangenberg. And you'll want to remember that name, because he's going to come up again later, and he's going to kind of end up being kind of the reason why this company has had some issues over the years. So Nintendo decides, like, yeah, we should probably, you know, branch out and maybe form an alliance with some studios in America. So they did that with Iguana Entertainment. So starting off from the beginning, Iguana Entertainment had some very, shall we say, ambitious projects from the beginning. They actually, like, when they started out, they were actually going to be, had, like, material they were working on for, like, 4 different games. I'm not kidding. There was an action-adventure game called Metaforce, a sports game called NFL Retro Football that was originally supposed to be a Mario football game. There was a vehicular combat game called Thunder Rally. And there was an RPG they were going to work on called Ravenblade. There's even that, and that last one in particular is significant because it's actually the only one of these 4 canceled games that was actually showcased publicly. It was actually showcased at E3 in 2001. But it had like a bunch of technical setbacks and stuff like that. And so, okay, so this game is like, okay, we're already right out the bat. We got some issues because you got 4 different projects that you're wanting to work on simultaneously on the GameCube. And, you know, it's like the modern gaming, like post-90s gaming industry really cannot work on projects like that successfully. You know, once the technology gets to a point where you have to do a lot more work on something, even as just the environments, you know, you can't really do that. Well, what happened is eventually they decided they would cancel all those projects in favor of focusing on a singular game that they were working on with Nintendo. And that game was Metroid Prime. Now, Chris, have you played Metroid Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I played Metroid Prime too. They're good games. You know, they took the Metroid concept and brought it into first person, and it ended up being really good. They're legitimately great game. The Metroid Prime trilogy is legitimately great. But there were issues. And it has to come back with this dude, with that dude, Jeff Spangenberg. So if there's one thing we've realized about the 90s sort of video game, especially in the U.S. Video game industry, we've all come to realize years later now, is that the industry was loaded with some real skeezy scumbags, you know, and turns out one of these guys is Jeff Spangenberg. See, you'll notice Jeff Spangenberg actually doesn't work with Retro Games anymore, with Retro Studios anymore. And you're thinking, okay, so why is that? Did he retire? He's like, I've done all I can do with this industry. I'm good. And that would actually be like a good excuse. You would think about it, considering all the stuff he produced with Iguana Entertainment during his career. But no. See, Jeff Spangenberg had a reputation as kind of a frat boy jackass, which is bad enough. But then people found out that he had this other thing that he was doing, this other little side gig, which was a softcore porn website that he had hosted. Which is like, okay, that's kind of skeezy, you know, but I mean, it's the internet, right? Who isn't connected with porn in some way? What industry isn't in some fashion? The problem is that he was hosting the site on Retro Studios' own internet servers. Yeah. So eventually what happened is the board of directors got together and basically more or less forced him out of the company. They got together, they contacted all the people at Nintendo, and basically Nintendo bought out his $1 million worth of stakes in the company and decided to reclassify the company as a first-party developer and division of Nintendo, basically, you know, just throwing Spangenberg out. So you would think, okay, that's the last we heard of Spangenberg. Nope. Unfortunately, no, it isn't, because he did one more project before he disappeared off the face of the earth. See, after he left Retro Studios, he decided to create a new company called Top Heavy Studio, which produced a game for PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 2 that has become infamous as one of those products of like the frat bro era of game culture from the early aughts. It was called the Guy Game. And what this was, is it was kind of like a combination of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Girls Gone Wild, where this weird looking douchebag would go up to these girls on like the beaches in like Cancun and, you know, Panama City Beach and whatever during spring break. And they would ask them like, you know, these trivia questions, and if they couldn't get, you know, if they got the question wrong, they would take off their clothes. Yeah. Now you're probably wondering, okay, I've heard of this game. Why have I never seen any copies of it, though? Yeah. So a few months after the game came out, one of the women that was featured in it ended up bringing a lawsuit against Spangenberg and Top Heavy Studios because it turned out that when they filmed her, she was underage. Yeah, so they had to stop making copies of the game, destroy any of the copies they had left, and then they re-released it as like an interactive DVD with the woman from the lawsuit dropped. Yeah. It is one of those bizarre sort of stories of like the sort of afterbirth of like the skeezy part of 90s game development bleeding over into the new millennium and then running headfirst into reality. But don't let it really reflect on Retro Studios themselves, because the games they have put out are legitimately great. And hopefully they'll get Metroid Prime out for sooner rather than later, because I kind of want to play that series again. And unfortunately, you can really only play the trilogy as it is right now on the Wii. And I don't have a Wii anymore. And that's been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And yes, please go watch that H-Bomber Guy video. It is, you have to watch it. But, in fact, are we going to talk about that video on Day Zero Update? It's kind of starting to, like, catch on with the rest of the game community, especially considering the fact that figure involved.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll figure something out. We probably should, because I have a feeling that it's gonna blow up very soon. But anyway, okay, so with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with the assholes of the week. Our first asshole of the week is this douchebag who is now in custody after he went to the University of Virginia and shot 3 football players and injured 2 others.
Yeah, this was an unfortunate tragedy.
Especially for the University of Virginia. Was it them or Virginia Tech that was that suffered that other mass shooting a few years ago?
That was Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that was Virginia Tech. Okay.
Yeah, this was involving a charter bus full of students that were returning from a field trip to see a play.
Yeah.
And they ended up being victims of this shooter.
Yeah.
Who was a former football player
mm-hmm.
At the school. But now faces 3 charges of second-degree murder and 3 counts of using a handgun in the commission of a felony.
Mm.
All 3 victims were juniors for the football team. And yeah, as a result, Virginia canceled their last game of their season.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been played today. So, the 2 victims that are being treated for injuries, their names have not been released yet. One is in critical condition, but hopefully they make it through. Mm. We'll see. The shooter happened to kind of get away for a bit, and they had the campus locked down for about 12 hours as they searched for them. But yeah, they ended up getting them. And now they are going through, I think they already started the trial for the decide whatever penalty he's going to get.
Yeah. Only in America. God damn. That's just sad as hell. And unfortunately, it wasn't the only incident this week, because we also had another shooting at another university. 4 students at the University of Idaho were killed by an edge weapon. Well, it wasn't a shooting. It was an edge weapon, but still. And unfortunately, the suspect is still at large.
Yeah, it seems like that. In Moscow, Idaho, or the University of Idaho, as you would know, police believe a knife or other edge weapon was used to kill 4 students. Mm-hmm. That seemed like an isolated, targeted attack. Not really too much information known right now.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 students, 3 women and a man, found dead in an apartment on King Road near campus on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they have identified all 4 of them, unfortunately. So all deaths were ruled homicides, because I wasn't sure if it was like a suicide pact or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, somebody is the one that has done this. No idea who it is just yet, but I believe they are on a search trying to figure out who it could have been.
This is fortunately good news, because we got someone getting their come up, but it's Elizabeth Holmes, who
one right above that.
Oh, yeah, there's one more. Yeah, the man that killed 6 people with that SUV he drove during the Christmas parade, yeah, he has been sentenced to life in prison.
Yep.
Good fucking riddance.
Yeah, life in prison with no chance of release. Rejecting arguments from him and his family that mental illness drove him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm.
Yeah, sentenced on 76 charges, including mm-hmm. 6 counts of first-degree intentional homicide, mm-hmm. 61 counts of reckless endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
Each homicide count carried a mandatory life sentence. The only uncertainty Wednesday was whether Dora would allow Brooks to serve any portion of those sentences on extended supervision in the community,
mm-hmm.
state's current version of parole. But she did not. Wisconsin does not have the death penalty, so
yeah,
he will rot in prison as he mm-hmm. deserves.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And oh yeah, so back to what I was saying. Elizabeth Holmes, who famously founded the fraudulent company Theranos, has been sentenced to 11 years in prison.
Yep. Yeah, more than 11 years in federal prison for a role in defrauding investors out of hundreds of millions of dollars. She begins her prison sentence on April 27th, 2023. Mm. But yeah, that's a lot. And she is mm-hmm. currently pregnant with her second child. So, yeah, after her release in 11 years, she will spend 3 years under supervision
mm-hmm.
as well. So she yeah. did some bad stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Raising a lot of money under false pretenses. But unfortunately, she's not going to get everything she deserves. Because there's other stuff as well that's mm-hmm. related to this, like the testing they did and all that. That she ended up not getting, being found not guilty for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the only crime she gets convicted on is for defrauding rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there's some sort of penalty there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the max was going to be like 20 years, and they were hoping for some home supervision thing
mm-hmm.
On her side, but luckily she gets some prison.
Yep. And last but not least of the assholes of the week, a bunch of tech companies, including the one you definitely are thinking of, unleashed a wave of layoffs in fear of a looming recession, which at this point is kind of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it's more than 35,000 tech workers across 72 companies have been laid off this month,
mm-hmm.
adding to a total of 120,000 tech jobs lost this year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is seeming like tech companies just preparing for this recession we've been hearing about for months to happen
mm-hmm.
That still has yet to really show itself. Amazon dropped 10,000 jobs. Meta dropped 11,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter has dropped about 3,700 jobs with that. And yeah, Stripe, about 1,000. Salesforce, hundreds of jobs. Microsoft's just under 1,000 jobs. Cool. And many more out there laying off significant portions of their workforce in fear of that stuff. I think even Disney dropped a bunch of people as they have like a hiring freeze and such going on for the next few months at least.
Mm.
Also, it's a good way to save money when you don't have to pay people for their jobs.
Yep.
Especially during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. But fortunately, it's not all bad. We do have heroes of the week. For example, the United States government has fined 6 airline companies $7.5 million and has requested them to refund customers over all those canceled flights they had to deal with over the last few months.
Yeah. They were just getting all this sort of chaos in terms of flights actually happening and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Transportation assessing fines totaling $7.5 million against 6 airlines. The DOT is ordering those airlines to pay $600 million in refunds to hundreds of thousands of customers who have been denied that. Airlines are required to pay customers refunds when a flight is canceled for any reason, but often in an effort to keep the cash, many airlines offer vouchers or credit for future travel instead of a refund, which is always a fun kind of thing. It's like, you can take it next time.
Yep.
Whatever. And it's like, why would they want to keep doing business with you?
Yeah.
You can't fulfill the basic thing of getting them a flight to where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, airlines' refusals to give passengers their money back has become a huge source of consumer complaints.
Yeah.
Especially during the early days of the pandemic when almost no one was flying.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a big issue for about 2.5 years at this point.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, let's see. Other airlines. Let's see. What airlines does this involve? Frontier should have been forced to pay $222 million in refunds and a $2.2 million fine. Frontier says it will pay $1 million out of pocket after having received a $1.2 million goodwill refund credit. Let's see. Other ones, Air India, $121.5 million in required refunds paid and $1.4 million penalty. TAP Air Portugal, $126.5 million in required refunds paid and a $1.1 million penalty. Aeromexico, $13.6 million in required refunds paid and a $900,000 penalty. El Al, $61.9 million in refunds and $900,000 penalty. And Avianca, $76.8 million in refunds and a $750,000 penalty. So at least a lot of the big names sort of did what they should have done. Though I'm sure they did not want to do it as quickly as they should have. But
yeah.
They get to keep their names out of this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there you
go. Seriously. Yeah, well. And let's see. Next up, Heroes of the Week, we've got a judge who overturned my state of Georgia's 6-week ban on abortion.
Yep. That is good news.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney's ruling took effect immediately statewide.
Mm-hmm.
The state attorney general's office said it filed an appeal. The ban had been in effect since July, ruling that it violated the U.S. Constitution, U.S. Supreme Court precedent when it was enacted 3 years ago and was therefore void. The ACLU, which represented doctors and advocacy groups that had asked McBurney to throw out the law, said it expects abortions past 6 weeks of pregnancy to resume Wednesday at some clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good news.
Yeah.
As we continue to hear horror stories of women having to deal with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
When even they have medical emergencies happening, not just, you know, not wanting to be pregnant.
Yeah. Because they really did not think this shit through. And
they thought it through. That's the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
To get back at these promiscuous women.
Yes.
Mm. Even the ones that wanted to keep their babies. But unfortunately had issues during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. But let's see. And next up. So Twitter is... I don't want to necessarily say that Twitter is going to be gone tomorrow. But it's not doing very well right now. Turns out that even the people who work for Twitter have like a point where they're not willing to take shit. And basically this week, they were all given an ultimatum to stay on for a massive crunch to work on Twitter 2.0 or be laid off with 3 months severance. The majority of them decided to leave and take the severance.
Yeah. The smart, smart money there. Take the money, get the holidays off and to figure out what you're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And let Elon deal with the unintended consequences of realizing how many people still wanted to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some people that have basically said, like, I want to stay on so that when the inevitable documentary happens, they can talk to me for that kind of thing. Yeah, it's what happens when you have an egomaniac like this. People are so dedicated to the job that they're willing to take this promised abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, sent an email to staff entitled A Fork in the Road, saying Twitter would need to be extremely hardcore to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Those who chose to stay should expect long, intense hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
Those who left will receive 3 months severance pay, he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Employees required to choose by, I think, Thursday at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people there were some videos of employees who were like, count down till they hit 5 p.m. like, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Elon has been just a giant man baby.
Yeah.
As he's like had people literally coming through Twitter for other employees, like making fun of Elon or whatever, and firing them as a result. And it's like, man, what happened to free speech? These people, especially when he's like trying to like explain things about the sites and why it's, working or not working. And then people that actually work on, the behind the scenes stuff are like, that's what you said is a load of gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they got fired as well, unfortunately. And a lot of people are like, yeah, fuck Elon Musk. I'm not going to deal with his bullshit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there are even people that wanted to put in their, notices of, leaving, and like their boss had been laid off and their boss's boss, and like having to figure out like, who the hell do I even tell I'm not going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of shit. And that's kind of the chaos that's going on. It's left Twitter in a weird place where people are like, I've been like looking at the security certificates for the site,
mm-hmm.
being like, oh, there's one that like ends in December, that, if that expires, that could take down the site, all that kind of stuff. A lot of like fear mongering around that. And it's like, yeah, that could happen. But also, the more people point it out, the more likely he's going to make sure there are people putting attention to that stuff. Twitter is probably not going to work as well as it has been, but it'll probably be okay for a while. Though he did just reinstate Trump within the past hour or so, whose latest tweets that are on there are from essentially the right around the insurrection happening, where he's like telling his people to, be respectful. We're the party of law and order,
mm-hmm.
and all that. Since like, yeah, sure. So that's a weird relic now.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I don't think he's coming back
because
he's got his own platform to whine and yell at.
Yeah. So that happened. And finally, Jeff Bezos gave Dolly Parton $100 million to donate to the charities of her choosing. We're calling Dolly Parton the hero here, not Jeff Bezos, because Jeff Bezos shits that kind of money in an hour.
He has made some sort of pledge to give away all of his fortune by some point. I don't know.
Yeah, details. Yeah, it's light on
details.
And the thing is, when they say they're doing that, it's usually a tax dodge. So,
yeah. Like they're putting their money in some sort of trust or foundation or whatever.
That they have complete control over. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they say they're going to donate to, schools, it's going to be specific schools that jump through hoops to satisfy his priorities, that kind of stuff. There's a good Last Week Tonight episode. It's all about that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, this one seems to be largely no strings attached. She gets $100 million that she can give to any charity that she wants. She put out a tweet, I try to put my money where my heart is. I would do my best to do good things with this money. Thank you, Jeff Bezos. She's been doing a lot of great work for years.
Mm-hmm.
She has an ongoing charitable. She has ongoing charitable projects, including the Imagination Library, a popular literacy effort that is now closing on sending its 200 millionth free book to young children in 5 countries. Mm-hmm. Other people that have gotten this is Jose Andres, the chef, $1 million for that, and activist / pundit Van Jones for that kind of stuff. Yeah, this is nicer stuff, giving sort of no strings attached money to these people to put towards the charities and such of their choosing is good, especially when they have the track record of people like Dolly Parton actually following through with that, rather than, taking a bit every once in a while for themselves. Because Dolly Parton has plenty of her own money.
Mm-hmm.
she doesn't really need this money to live whatever life she wants. So yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are our heroes of the week. So from that, we're moving on to the proper show proper. And we're going to start off with all the sort of cleanup stuff we have to do for the midterm elections, because we got sort of results from more of those things. It took a little while because, you know, that's kind of how some of these races work. And the first story is that Katie Hobbs has officially beaten Carrie Lake to become Arizona's new governor. Not that you would know it from Carrie Lake, because she refuses to concede.
Yeah. And she's been claiming that it's been rigged and all this. And it's like, no, you're just a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. So at one point, it was like, oh, she's only got like 100,000 followers and I've got 1 million. So who really won? It's like, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Followers doesn't determine shit. It's free to follow mm-hmm. on Twitter. Any of that, but yeah, she lost. She can mm-hmm. go fuck off. And much like everything else in Arizona, they're more blue than they seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
As just continuing to reject the general MAGA extremist shit that these people are running on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the people look back at like our old tweets, like Arizona's no BS when they see it. And it's like, yep, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
You and your extremely weird, super blurry backgrounds when you're on mm-hmm. TV. So yeah, great news for Arizona.
Yep.
They can see the lights like New Mexico's been enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
California, obviously.
Yeah. And in another blow to the GOP, the Dems have officially regained control of the Senate as Arizona and Nevada go in their favor. And we still have the runoff election here in Georgia. Next month.
So could give us full control.
Yeah.
I want to see how the runoff election stuff goes. And there's been the fight over whether people can vote early or not.
Mm-hmm.
Starting the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because I guess what? That's technically a holiday in Georgia.
Yeah.
Based around the Confederacy that people are like, fuck off with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That people vote. But there's like some weird laws like you can't vote on holidays. Kind of shit.
No, this is all by design.
Yeah. It's to create as many barriers as possible.
Mm-hmm. But, and then another thing that actually everybody had kind of predicted was going to happen. Republicans officially gain control of the House of Representatives. By a lot. It was by pretty much by a sliver and nowhere close to what they were hoping for.
Yeah, the current count with stuff still coming in, it's at 219 for the Republicans.
Yeah, and they needed 218 to control it, so...
Yeah, so they've been already starting to talk about what they're going to do, and obviously, have you seen what they've been talking about? Like, oh, we're going to run an investigation on Hunter Biden. It's like,
yeah,
what the fuck does he have to do with anything in the federal government? It's not like Jared and Ivanka.
Mm-hmm.
And any of those idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan seems to largely be delay, delay, delay.
Mm-hmm.
Create as much chaos as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so great.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the rare opportunities where they can be bipartisan.
Yeah.
They're just going to delay until they hopefully take it all back in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. And of course, going on from there, we also know that Kevin McCarthy has been nominated to be the House Speaker, but he might not have the votes.
He was nominated 188 to 31.
Yeah, but he needs I forgot how many votes in total he needs to actually clinch it. But
yeah, I don't know what it is, but there's already people sort of plotting against him. Andy Biggs mm-hmm. is the one that was running to be the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's basically said, like, well, if McCarthy's it, I'm not voting for him. So it's like, all right, good.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are going to be other dumb people over there. They're going to vote against their self-interest.
Yeah. It's going to, we're going to see some knives go into backs as this goes on.
Yeah. much like with this next story.
Yeah, because Mitch McConnell is pretty much in the same situation.
Yeah, because they're blaming the lack of a red wave on McConnell and McCarthy, and it's like,
yeah,
now you should look at the big orange guy.
Yeah, look at the policies and the people you nominated.
Yeah, it's all extremists. It's all things that the general American public does not want, which
yeah,
is a complete ban of abortion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, running against school loan cuts. It's pretty much generally and a lot of it, opposition to liberal policies to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of contrarian. Being a contrarian, essentially,
yeah,
is not doing great for them.
Yeah.
You know, owning the libs is not a great party policy.
Yeah. And it's like, it's and they seem to be completely lacking any kind of, you know, any kind of capacity for self-reflection.
Yeah.
It's like, there was no, like, conspiracy here. It's just that people don't like you.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to think about the reason why people don't like you.
Yeah. That's why they want to be fascist.
Yeah.
So they can win without having to be liked.
But, and then we got the news this week that after 2 decades, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be stepping down.
As the party leader.
Yeah.
Now she will go down as probably the most effective House Speaker.
Yeah.
In both parties' history.
Yeah. If not necessarily the best or most liked.
Yeah, but you know, you don't have to be super well-liked all the time to be effective. She got lots of work done when they had the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was when they took back the House under Trump, started pumping out all these bills that show like what the party was willing to do. But obviously Trump was keeping those things from them and the Republican Senate and all that.
Yep. Yep.
And then once they got control of everything in 2020, they went to town, started putting out lots of good legislation, lots of good, liberal legislation as well. Making, Biden, as much as he seems stodgy and all that. He's the most liberal president we've had in a long time, not ever, just by everything that's been done. So
even compared to, his previous Democratic predecessors.
Yeah, who got his biggest victories with like the Affordable Care Act got gutted a lot by Republicans who were largely acting in bad faith. And not completely in bad faith. So,
yeah.
He has been able to get past that a lot. And, she's a big part of that. And obviously has some good moments of her, like, tearing up Trump's speech while he was right behind, right in front of her.
Yeah.
Showing she had little interest in his bullshit.
Yeah.
I assume she's still going to stay in her seat and all that, just let.
Yeah, I think she's supposed to like stay on as like a advisor emeritus or something like that.
Yeah, and they're talking about, I forget who the candidates are. Hakeem Jeffries is one of them.
Hakeem Jeffries is generally the guy who's agreed upon going to be succeeding her.
Yeah, and he's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll have to see sort of how he is as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, even for as much as people, pegged Pelosi as being, anti, the squad and all that. She did a lot of work with them and let them, influence the things that mattered.
Yeah.
A lot of time they all won their elections this year.
Yeah, all of them. Every single one of them. They all won re-election.
For as much as people want to say that they're all unlikable and all that.
Cringe or unlikable or hard to work with. No.
No. They're the future of this party.
Yep. And voters certainly confirmed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the fact that they were running up against people that were just generally toxic and awful.
Yeah.
Especially AOC. Holy crap. The woman that was running against her was like the worst example of like every Long Island stereotype forced into one woman.
Yeah.
But, and last but not least, former President Donald Trump announced his bid for the 2024 presidential race, and it was basically a loud, wet fart of a show. Wow. He had none of the energy that he had the first time around when he announced his candidacy after he went down that escalator.
Yeah.
But granted, with a lot of the people he hired to be there. But he was completely lacking the charisma that he usually has.
And there just didn't seem to be anything interesting that he had to talk about.
I mean, he rarely does, but this in particular, it was like
where you're supposed to lay out your why people should vote for you.
Yeah.
People were literally trying to leave the event while it was
going on. Right. There was like footage of like all these people crowding around the exit, but they couldn't leave because security was blocking the doors.
Yeah, so they're just kind of standing around,
mm-hmm.
being like, well, shit, I can't go back and sit down because mm-hmm. I want to be out of here as fast as possible. But I guess we'll just kind of act like we are interested.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of these people were essentially people that would be in his base.
Yeah.
If not support, like people that might work in his group or whatever, his team.
Yeah, and it doesn't really help that most of the people that were originally in his administration want nothing to do with him anymore.
Yeah, even Ivanka said, like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, me and Best of Jared luck.
I got a family Jared, I want to deal with.
Yeah, me and Jared kind of want to sit this one out.
Yeah, because we made enough money off of it last time. We don't need to go for seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that greedy.
Yeah. And, you know, both Bill Barr and Pompeo have said, yeah, no, we want nothing to do with him.
I think Barr said maybe, but I think he also said, like, yeah, they probably have enough. They could indict him on something if they want to, but
yeah,
I would still support him.
Yeah, and as for Pompeo, I think he's actually going to be, like, running for the nomination, or at least he's putting his foot in there. So
I don't know why he would. I don't think anybody really knows who he is.
Yeah, well, but yeah, and just with that, and then like the mainstream of the party is starting to coalesce itself around DeSantis.
Yeah, which people try to pick him as, like, he's so much different than Trump. He's like,
no, he isn't.
Not really. He's a more put-together version of Trump.
He doesn't have as much drama, yeah. And he's slightly more...
He's more boring politician version
of Trump. He has none of his charisma.
If you can call that charisma, but...
Yeah, and also he has a weirdly squeaky high voice, but... Yeah, so... Yeah, and he, like, the worst part is he's already starting to, like, try to bring out his greatest hits. Like, he made another statement about how immigrants are all, you know, rapists and murderers and stuff, and it's like, we already went through this back in 2016, dude.
Yeah, as much as, you know, people are already, Abbott in Texas is already doing stuff trying to get rid of. Like, oh, Biden's doing nothing about the border, so we're bringing out whatever order he has to get people down there to protect it and all that. It's like, mm-hmm. there's not really anybody coming in that isn't, like, especially just going through asylum,
mm-hmm.
which means they're legally allowed to be here
mm-hmm.
until their case is heard and all that.
Yeah.
It's like all these people are just doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Also, conveniently, as soon as the election ended, the cost of oil dropped precipitously. So that's why prices are dropping quickly.
Yep.
For gas.
It's like, wow, I wonder why.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, that was all the sort of midterm elections left. I think, obviously, it won't really be done for good until, you know, after December.
Yeah, December 6th is when the runoff election for Georgia, and there's still a couple other races that are finalizing things.
Mm-hmm. But moving on from there, we got some other major news. Specifically, the Senate, with bipartisan support, voted in favor of a same-sex and interracial marriage bill, basically the marriage equality bill, just in case, you know, something happens. And yeah, it got bipartisan support with a lot of Republicans voting in favor of it.
Well, 50 and 12. 50 Democrats and 12 Republicans.
Hey, that's impressive for the current party.
Yeah, though this bill isn't necessarily what it's been pushed as.
Yeah, I admit it also has been kind of down.
So it's basically saying, like, if they get, you know, same-sex marriage happens, or has happened since, you know, the SCOTUS ruling years ago happened, you know, it still has to be federally recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And can't be taken away. There's a lot of, like, religious rights shit in there as well.
Yeah.
With that, this also includes interracial marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, McConnell, Mitch, you know, he voted against this. Despite being married to a Chinese woman.
Yeah.
But they don't see themselves as an interracial marriage. They're the same.
Yeah.
As in both far-right extremists.
Yeah.
Who love money, capitalists, and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still, it's like a thing, like, you look at everything and it's like, this is all right. It's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would like that it'd be a federal thing, so... It seems like it would put people in a place where they would have to travel if their state does not allow same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But if they do that, they would be good because the state would have to be forced to recognize that marriage.
Yeah.
Though I'm sure states will try and find ways to nullify that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't yet because that decision is still being held, but
yeah, that's, they're at least doing more for it right now than they were for abortion.
Yeah,
or they just kind of assumed that there's no way that was going to happen.
Even though everybody was warning them for a few years now that it was going to happen, but no. Anyway, after that, we also got the hang where Congress held its first hearing about establishing a non-voting delegate seat for the Cherokee Nation. And I'm hoping it's the first of many, because I want all of the various Native Indian nations that are still existing will have some sort of voice in it, because they certainly deserve it.
You know when they made this promise?
Way back in the 1800s?
Yeah, 1835.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't done shit since then.
Nope.
So you can see how much that was. That was Andrew Jackson that signed that. So
yeah, you know
how much that was a thing he actually cared about.
Yeah.
Because he just did not give a shit about any indigenous people.
At all.
No.
No.
So yeah, this is at least the biggest thing we've done in the last 200 years.
Yeah.
For this effort. So yeah, that is going to be at least something. Hopefully that is something that continues to go, but
yeah,
I'm not sure if this is through both parts of Congress or if this is the House or what.
It's both, because they deserve a bit in both.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that the Republicans are going to take over, and they similarly do not give a shit about indigenous people.
Nope. So no, they do not.
They get control over this, then they would just say nope.
Mm-hmm. And now for some non-government related stuff. Buffalo, New York, and actually a good chunk of New York in general, is getting hit hard by a huge snowstorm that has dropped up to 6 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, so much so that there was going to be a football game in Buffalo. The Bills are going to be playing. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, they canceled the game. Or not canceled it, but moved it over to Detroit, where they have a dome, to play it. And Buffalo didn't fly out until today, like this past afternoon. Whereas, like, you people knew this was going to happen. Why didn't you fly out, like, Friday?
Yeah.
When they announced the game was being moved.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they had to, like, somehow dig these people out. These players and the team managers and all that stuff, and get them to the practice facility and get them flying out to Detroit. Yeah, it's kind of a wild thing. Like where the Buffalo Bills stadium is at, got the bulk of that 6 feet of snow, but the University of Buffalo, that's sort of in the southern part of the city, had, you know, maybe a couple of inches.
Yeah,
it's not like they were able to play their football game and like just miles apart and just massively different amounts of snow.
Yeah,
it's sort of the wild way that weather can go for that kind of stuff. But yeah, lots of people. Hopefully, they are safe, have plenty of food and water and all that,
and heat.
Yeah, well, they're Buffalo. They're prepared for heat with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I assume all their houses are insulated. They have, you know, heating systems and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of, you know, warm clothing and blankets and all that.
Yeah.
This isn't like if this dropped in Georgia, it would be the biggest scandal Georgia's ever had.
Yeah.
It'd be like when Texas had their freeze storm.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, how do they get out? What are shovels? How do we get snow out? Just set everything on fire.
Yeah.
That's how we get rid of the snow.
Yeah. Or hell, just ask Lee what happened when Atlanta got hit with snow.
Yeah, they didn't have
salt. He can tell you all about it.
They didn't have any salt.
And his wife got stuck in the middle of traffic for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
But,
that can happen anywhere. I think, what was it, Virginia had that last year.
Yeah.
At least one person in Congress had.
Mm-hmm.
Was on the roads there.
Yep.
Luckily, there was somebody with some extra food passing it around and water and that. But
yeah.
But this is normal for Buffalo, not 6 feet in one storm, but they're prepared. They're usually one of the snowiest places in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year they had about as much as like we had.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a down year. We had a good. We had an up year.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah. And now for some slightly lighter news. As of this week, there are now officially 8 billion people on planet Earth.
Yep. According to a UN report.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. Though, don't let people get it twisted. It's like, oh God, we're going to suck the population and stuff. No, no. No. We have far more space than people and far more food to go around than people think we do.
Yeah, though what we don't have to go around is land to grow food on.
Yeah.
That's the thing that is increasingly shrinking as, you know, this climate change thing changes the environment around us.
Yeah, yeah.
Even with all that excess water, a lot of the world is, I think what they call it is desertification, where it's just
Especially like North Africa. North Africa has had to deal with desertification for decades. So,
yeah. It's getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you have billions of dollars, you know one way you could ensure your legacy?
Yeah.
Donate towards helping to solve these problems.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't.
No.
They want to keep that for themselves and make sure they're okay.
Yeah. They want to build a giant rocket ship shaped like a penis and shoot it off into space.
Or they're going to build an entire fortress under the ground.
Yeah. Or they want to upload their consciousness to the cloud.
Yeah, do that, Elon.
Please
leave
do
your
that.
Body behind.
Yeah. No, we're totally not drawing cat whiskers on your face with, you know, dog feces. No, everything's going just fine.
No, they would just DDoS him and do it out of existence.
But anyway, moving on from there. Chris Hemsworth, actor Chris Hemsworth, is taking time off from his career after he discovered this week that he has a genetic predisposition to Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, that's unfortunate news.
Yeah.
He's going to take time off of work once his press tour for the Disney Plus series Limitless has wrapped. In the fifth episode, he meets with the doctor and it's revealed that he has a genetic predisposition for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
His makeup includes two copies of the gene APOE4,
mm-hmm.
one from his mother and another from his father, which studies have linked to an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
But he says, like, it's not like I've been handed my resignation. He's now 8 to 10 times more likely to develop the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather currently is diagnosed with it.
So yeah.
He knows it runs in his family.
Mm.
He says, I'm not sure he actually remembers much anymore, and he slips in and out of Dutch, which is his original language.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be talking in Dutch and English, and then a mashup.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe some other new words as well, talking about his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So his own predisposition diagnosis, he said it's not a predeterministic gene, but it is a strong indication. 10 years ago, I think it was more thought of as a determinant.
Mm-hmm.
It really triggered something in me to want to take time off.
Mm-hmm.
And since we finished the show, I've been completing the things I was already contracted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finish this tour this week, I'm going home and I'm going to have a good chunk of time off and just simplify it. Be with the kids, be with my wife. Just good for him.
All right.
Just deal with what's most important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And see where things go from there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But we also have, now, and in case you haven't noticed, we are firmly into the entertainment portion of the show. And we got this story, Amazon has picked up some series from Sony based on the Marvel characters that it has ownership over that, you know, Disney does not.
Yeah. The first series under the deal would be Silk Spider Society, which has been talked about being in the works for a while, developed by The Walking Dead showrunner Angela Kang, along with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse producers Phil Lord and Christopher Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be one of them. It'll debut domestically on MGM Plus's linear channel, followed by a global launch on Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on characters created by Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos for Marvel Comics, following Cindy Moon, described as a Korean-American woman bitten by the same spider that bit Peter Parker, as she escapes imprisonment and searches for her missing family on her way to become the superhero known as Silk.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they are also looking at other series that Sony's working on, though I don't know that they have anything else being picked up just yet, but they are ordering some of these series from them. So I'm sure we'll find out what other ones they'll get at some point. Mm. So yeah, here you go.
Yep. And, finally, for the show here, we got a series of, first we've got this update from Netflix. Murderville is returning to Netflix with a Christmas special on December 15th.
Yep. This is going to be a new episode with Will Arnett returning in the role of Detective Terry Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The celebrity guest stars will be Jason Bateman and Maya Rudolph. Bateman, you know, being his co-star in Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
While Maya Rudolph starred with him in the NBC series All Night, Up All Night.
Mm-hmm.
The official description. Senior Detective Terry Seattle is back, and this time the case is critical. Along with his two celebrity guest stars, Jason Bateman and Maya Rudolph, he is on a mission to figure out who killed Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the catch. Jason Bateman and Maya Rudolph aren't being given the script. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what's about to happen to them. Together with Terry Seattle and many surprises, they'll have to improvise their way through the case. But we're up to both of them to name the killer.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And there's a teaser trailer if you want to see a little bit of it. Though I'm just going to wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
No reason to see anything that spoils that. So excited for that.
Yeah. Yep. And now we got some trailers, both of them from Netflix. First, we got an official trailer for Netflix's A Man of Action.
Yeah, and this is one that is based on a real character, a real person, mm-hmm. Lucio Urtubia,
mm-hmm.
Spain's most famous anarchist who carried out a counterfeiting scheme to cheat the world's largest bank.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into people that are anti-capitalism,
mm-hmm.
Here's a Spanish film that looks pretty neat from what the trailer is showing. So it'll be out, let me see what the date is, November 30th. So yeah, it'll be about a week and a half away from here. So this looks pretty cool, like a nice type of heist movie that, you know, isn't super violent or anything. It's people trying to defraud a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we can all support.
Yep. Awesome. And finally, last but not least, we got an official trailer for Netflix's The Recruit.
Yeah, this is a series that mm-hmm. stars Noah Centineo, who was the main boyfriend from the, what was the movie series, To All the Boys I've Ever Loved. I believe, as well as various other series. We can kind of typecast and that kind of thing. It's like, the perfect boyfriend kind of thing. And this is sort of a big action thing that he's sort of doing to show that he can do that stuff as well. So yeah, he is a fledgling lawyer at the CIA, becomes enmeshed in dangerous international power politics when a former asset threatens to expose the nature of her long-term relationship with the agency. Unless they exonerate her of a serious crime. And yeah, all episodes will be streaming December 16th on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, looks pretty good. And this trailer is pretty well done.
Yeah.
A lot of good action, a lot of good editing
mm-hmm.
to push everything together. So looking forward to this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I believe that is our show for the night, folks. I do believe we got ourselves a show. Awesome. All right, so I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. So, we are going to go ahead and wrap it up for you tonight. We hope you all have if you're one of our listeners here in America, we hope you have a safe Thanksgiving. And please be smart if you're going to deep fat fry your turkey, because there's always that one dipshit every year who somehow manages to set his whole hair, or if not his entire house on fire.
Yeah, do it outside in a place that is secluded.
Also, remember to thaw the turkey out before you actually try to put it into the hot oil. Because all that's doing is adding moisture to the freaking hot oil. Also, make sure you have like a pulley system rigged up so you can slowly lower it in there without excess splashing. You know, just
bake it if you're...
Yeah, seriously, just bake it.
Not reliable with it.
Like, yeah. Actually, better yet, if you're going to have it fried, just hire somebody else to do it for you. Preferably people who do it for a living.
Yeah.
Because they probably know better to do it than you do.
Yeah, don't be dumb.
Yeah, don't be an idiot. Otherwise, we'll be seeing you on the Nightly News. Good night, everybody.